We'll praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's glorious. He's victorious. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. You know, that's the songs tonight were a good choice of songs, because there must be a craving within us, a desire that goes beyond anything we would desire in the natural. It really reminds me of when Job declared that I need thy word more than my necessary food. And when we understand that the word in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, says that the word becomes flesh. It's a picture of what God's really after, a tabernacle, a temple. Not just individually, you know, in the Feast of Tabernacles, they all had to get in a booth, didn't they? An individual booth. But they all had to do it together to make it a festival or a celebration. Okay? And so God is definitely fulfilling His word. He's definitely going to finish what He started. He's definitely going to have a celebration, a feast, a holiday, one that will never end. Even though we're looking at it from the Old Testament pattern that they had to do it every year, had to be done in cycles, and we still continue to do things in cycles. God even shows up in cycles. We may not like that, but it's, you know, it's the reality of what it is. If you listen to our preaching, we would think that we could make God do whatever He wants on demand. Right? And many folks try that, don't they? Well, just let me know how that worked out for us. And it isn't that God isn't promising or purposing. It's just that God knows what He's doing, and we must yield to Him and walk by faith and everything. Amen? So we'll continue to look at another aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles. It is a picture of restoration. Hallelujah. God's restoring, isn't He? We know that He has restored, He is restoring, and He yet shall restore or finish what He started. All right? And so when we looked at Feast of Tabernacles in light of restoration, anytime we look at restoration, we look at the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, we look at Haggai and Zechariah, and actually even Malachi, who was a prophet who came later, okay? And Ezra and Nehemiah, I told you the other day, that they were not part of the, they were not there when the temple was being rebuilt and restored. Okay? And I also mentioned to you that Haggai and Zechariah were prophets that came to encourage, right? And one of the things that Haggai we looked at on Sunday was that they, first remember this, when King Cyrus decided to build the house, he used people. that God already planned to build the house or be a house, right? He didn't use his own people. He went to the children of Israel or the children of Judah that were in captivity of Babylon that was actually taken over by the Persians, right? And the thing was, he asked them, whosoever will. Whoever has a desire. And unlike the crew that came out of Egypt, this was a remnant people. Not everybody went back to Jerusalem to rebuild because they liked their, you know, they got accustomed to the customs. You know, church was good. Job was good. Money was good. Life was good. Throw in or sprinkle in some bad moments, but as long as it didn't affect me directly, life is good. But the house of God still laid in waste. And so a remnant people came out and they began to build, and we had, who was the governor? Zerubbabel. And who was the high priest? Joshua. It's that king-priest ministry that must function in the earth today. Not, listen, God is cool in this way. You know, this is what messes up a lot of people when they get confused. That God has positions, but it's not about positions. And oh, by the way, he puts in positions who he positions. We can't make those decisions. We can't choose those spots. Okay? You know, here's one way God made it real easy. I always wish I was a singer. But he never wanted me to be a singer. He'd give me the singing voice. Now, I can sing, but you get my point. I don't think I'll get up and do any solos. And you all are saying, amen, hallelujah, thank God for that. Because you probably can hear me and it's, you know, rough enough. But anyway, are you with me? So we have Joshua, we have Zerubbabel, and a remnant group that began to build the temple. They laid the foundation. It was finally done when the second year had come, right? And the whole point of laying the foundation is to finish the temple. And what that really means to you and I is, listen, you can't build a people, a city, unless the center worship, true worship, is restored. I'm not trying to be mean, but we think music is true worship. When, if we look at the very word, what it means to bend the knee. Now, we've learned to worship, praise and worship, sing songs, get along with the music and one another, but that does not mean I bend the knee. Okay. And then, along the way, they got so caught up in life that they did what? They ceased restoring the temple. And the reason was because of opposition. And opposition begins where? Where? Between the ears. Is that what you said? So many people said something at one time, I didn't catch it. Are you with me? Opposition begins between the ears. Well, I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like raising my hands. I don't feel like going to church tonight because I'm tired. I don't feel. That's the opposition of today. Now, we could look in the children of Israel's day, and they had Sanballat and Tobiah, and, you know, they, you know all the story. Most of you do, right? At least I hope you do. I don't want to ask you what the seventh month means. But anyway, are you all right? And so Haggai came, and he told them, he said, hey, listen, folks. How can you live in your sealed houses when the house of God lays to waste? And what that really means to you and I today, in the comfortable lifestyles of your church system, I'm not talking about my house over there on Riverwood Heights. He's talking about this house. Not just this building, but the house. When the real house lies in waste. And we can fool ourselves and we can say whatever we want, but the prophet declared what the Lord said. Okay? The prophet declared this. And if you need further proof, what did he say? He said, you sowed much, but you sure didn't bring in as much as you sowed. You expected this much. Listen, the church every time has an expectation that when they pray for someone, that the prayer is answered. The expectations sure do not measure up to the results. Or should I say it the other way around? The results don't measure up to the expectations. We do a lot, but we bring in little. Okay. And so the prophet declared, consider your ways. Now, this isn't a moment to run around in condemnation. What it is a moment for is that God says, hey, examine yourselves and change your ways. Because what I have for you is much more than you could have, abundantly above anything you could ever think or ask. Is it any wonder that Jesus said to you and I? He already knows what we need before we ever ask. But we sure don't bring in what we need as much as we sow it. And the reason is because the house of God needs to be restored. Okay? Now somebody could say, well, you know, because we've done well in teaching messages, right? But do you think the 21st century church has as much power operating and functioning as the first century church? Because I don't know about you, but I'll be honest. That which is around me sure doesn't resemble what I read in this book. When I know that the 21st century church should be functioning in more power than the first century church. How do you know that, preacher? Because don't you get stronger as you get older? Who's older? A one-year-old baby or a 21-year-old? Because 21-year-olds aren't old, right? Oh, so it's centuries. What's the big deal? Because a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. So if you turn with me tonight, I want to continue with the book of Haggai, because the prophet really is here to encourage us, to exhort us, to continue on in the restoration of the temple. Now, I believe when Jesus poured out His Spirit upon all flesh, that restoration began. Are you with me? But He's looking for a people who will finish the temple. And for 21 centuries, there's been plenty of opposition. And even if we come to a time like when the prophet says, hey, you might say it's not the time to build, but I say it's the time to build and restore. And when they looked around, what did they see? Not much. Not much. Remember, I always like to say this. The church needs to stop being a subculture, but it needs to become the culture. But it can't become the culture unless it gets cultivated by the farmer. Are you with me? And so we have here now the prophet continuing. He's already now laid out. He's already laid out. Hey, you have to consider your ways. And remember what he said, go up into the mountain. Gather some wood. Get all everything you need to restore. Everything we need is in the mountaintop. It's in the mountain. Amen? So, Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. And I know I read this to you on Sunday, but I'm going to, and I gave you a little bit, but let's read it again. In the seventh month, what's the seventh month? Ethanim. And it is when they celebrate tabernacles. Okay? Now, this may or may not get you excited, but I mean, I just about every time I read it, want to have a shouting fit, all right? In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, I like it that it's 21 again, don't you? Came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai. Now, I said this to you on Sunday, and let's repeat it. What month is the Feast of Tabernacle in? Seventh. What day does the Feast of Tabernacles begin? 15th. And how many days do they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? How many? A week. 7 days. So 15 plus 7 equals 21. That's Dale's math. No, that's because you have to count day 15. Right? As the first day, day 15, watch. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Are you with me? This is why he said the 21st day. And if you remember when we did this, the first day and the seventh day were what kind of days? Sabbath days or holy days. Now, see, I'm all jacked right now, and I want to run and shout and jump. But let me tell you, the reason he prophesied on the 21st day was because it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. He saved the best wine for last. In other words, what he's really declaring here at this very moment is a finished work of the Feast of Tabernacles, a complete restoration of what God has purposed and promised. It is not a coincidence. It's not just some old Testament saying or verse. It doesn't mean anything. It has no flavor or relevance to today. But oh, it does. It most certainly does. Why didn't he prophesy on the 18th day or the 29th day or... Because God was trying to tell you and I something. See, Haggai may or may not have known that you and I would be here today. But I can guarantee this. The Lord knew. Well, how can you guarantee it? Watch this. Everybody look up here. He wrote it down so we could read it. That's the guarantee. And he sealed it with the blood of Jesus, as a lamb, as a bullock, and a goat. Are you with me? How cool is that? He didn't arbitrarily just pick a day. He picked the 21st day, or the last day, of the Feast of Tabernacles. And watch this. And even though there was always, no, come on, see, this is just blowing my head apart. Even though there was always a cyclical 21st day of the seventh month, what he was really prophesying to you and I was, hey, this is the seventh month. Anybody remember? Cherry doesn't count. What is the seventh month of Etham? What does it mean? permanent or continuance. In other words, it's a permanent flow of what takes place on the 21st day. Because does everybody remember what the 22nd day was? It was the eighth day of the feast, which wasn't really part of the feast, which really was a new beginning. A new beginning of what? Of what ended everything before and started everything new. And there would be no more need for a cycle. It would be a true jubilee. Are you with me? How cool is that? He did this all on the 21st day. You know, I read the Old Testament. It's so old. It's so boring. I don't get anything out of it. No. God's actually talking to you and I today. Now, if you don't think so, now listen to me. Watch this. Here we go. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Joshua, Zerubbabel, and the whosoever will. The residue, the remnant. It's not the everybody. Listen, I don't feel bad not everybody's included. Because I understand the bigger picture, what God's really going to do. I better feel bad if we, like Paul said, we didn't measure up and be found to be a what? Castaway? Do you realize we could spend all our time trying to save the world when all along God's trying to save us so He can save the world? And we could miss out on what He's really after? I don't believe that. That's all right. God knows. Are you with me? Now watch this. Verse 3. Who, this was saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now, what does that mean to you and I? Let's look at it first and foremost the way they did. If there were some folks that were taken out of Jerusalem through Babylon, and then now they're in captivity, and they were given they were afforded the opportunity to go back and restore, they had a comparison if they saw it before. And when they look at it now, it looks like a pile of what? Nothing. Rubbish, garbage, burnt stones, a pile of nothing. Sometimes when I look at the church compared to what I read in the Bible, it looks like a pile of nothing. Sometimes I look in the mirror and understand and see the Christ. And in comparison, it looks like nothing. Now, I can either condemn myself or I can overinflate myself or I can walk the path that God's really after. Humble myself. Are you with me? Because really the truth of the matter is the church has lost its glory. We can preach messages and people can run around talking glory. But in reality, how much, I'm talking about the true church of God, how much influence does it have in the earth? It doesn't even have influence in most people's houses, let alone governments. Are you with me? And when Haggai is prophesying, now I don't know, they say they don't know for sure, but I've read that, you know, they stop restoring or building the temple back for 18 years. Now, 18 years is a long time. A lot of people can come and go in 18 years. Can't they? I mean, the truth of the matter is, look at this church is only going to be in existence 17 years. And if you look around, go to the mountain. Because everything we need is in the mountain. Are you with me? Now watch this. Here's the word of the Lord. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Who's talking now? The Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you hear that? He said, be strong how many times? Three times. And then what did he say? He said, first of all, he said to work. 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 You know what work is? Here's what work is. It's doing something when you don't want to do it. I'm too tired to read my Bible. I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too busy. Work is making the right decisions. Are you with me? Because I guarantee you, we will give in to our naturalness more often than not. And then we'll go right through the same cycles over and over, year after year. Are you with me? All right. Okay, watch this. Turn with me to, now, let's read this verse again. Can we read it again? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what he said, didn't he? And the reason is, it's so that you and I can restore the house, the true house. I don't know what the house is. I already read that verse. Jesus said, I'm going to take and tear this building down, and in 3 days I'm going to rebuild it. He showed us what the house was as an individual. He became an individual booth or tabernacle. And then we find out that God is after a corporate man, a corporate temple. This is why Paul wrote this, that every single one of us, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. And so as the temple, in this day, it was laid to waste. Still was the temple. But it was not functioning the way it needed to. And so Zerubbabel came with the word of the Lord and told him to do what? Be strong. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, but wait, before you go there. Why did he tell them to be strong? No, they already were. They were sitting idle for 18 years, building their own lifestyle instead of building the house of God. They wouldn't work on the temple of God. I don't have time to read my Bible. Are you with me? They would not build the house of God. And then we always wonder why we sow a lot and we bring in little. You know what we've done in the church? We've convinced people the little bit that we have is so great because it came from God that we've really missed the ultimate intention of what He's really after. Look, watch this. You want to talk just money? You want to talk just money? God says the wealth of the nations will come into the church. Do you know why it doesn't the way we think it should or could? It's because the money that does come in, most of it came in through pollution. You'll get that. Corruption. And then it's used, watch this, for our own self-desires. Men or mankind loves to build their own kingdoms. But they laid in waste and they stopped building, let's say, for 18 years. And here's why. Opposition. Opposition, watch this. It can be the devil, or it can just be the subtleties of life. Those little foxes that spoil the vine. And so therefore, Haggai was telling Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the people to be strong. Watch, three times he used the word be strong, didn't he? And the reason, we understand threes, don't we? Now turn with me. Ephesians chapter 6. If you know your Bible, you know where we're going. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you all right tonight? Am I making any sense to you? I do not want you to lose the aspect of what we are talking about. That the Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of restoration. And what Haggai is declaring, he's declaring this word is for you and I today. That God has a finishing work on the last day. That there will be no more need to repeat the cycle or the experience of a Feast of Tabernacles because it will be ever flowing. Yeah, hallelujah. Come on, if you can't get jacked about that, I'm sorry. You ready? Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, I like that word, don't you? Sounds like a last day word. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Isn't that what he's telling? Isn't that what Haggai said? Now here, listen, God has brought this word. He's wove it through time, hasn't he? And he's brought it right here to you and I. Listen, he's telling you and I, listen, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because there is going to be opposition to restore the true temple of God right in our own churches. Right in between our own ears. Because we look around and say, you know, people have been preaching this stuff forever and it's not happening. What? You know, hey, they preach life and they're still dying and there's this and that. It does not ever change the Word of God. But watch this. Look at, you know the rest of this. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, watch this. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness, where? In high or heavenly places. Now, let's go back to Haggai. He told them to be strong, didn't he? And he also told, or Paul told the Ephesians, which, you know, you and I get to be partakers of this, right? He told us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember what I told you when I had this revelation when we lived up in the other building? It was like 2003. It takes more power to what? Stay on the cross than to get off of it. We'd rather
rather a message of escape. We won't call it the rapture, but all it really is a rapture out of my troubles or the hell that I'm in. Forgive my speech. Are you with me?
Why are we always trying to get out of the fire when God says, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction or the fire? And watch this. Why are we trying to get out of the fire when God says He is a fire?
Because my flesh doesn't like it.
Are you with me? Now watch this. Verse 5, Haggai 2:5. According to the word that I've covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. So God made a covenant. He made a covenant with, watch, natural Israel. But that covenant works for you and I because of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
He'll keep up his... He's not a covenant breaker. Men are. Mankind breaks covenants, not God.
Now watch this. Listen. I don't find it an accident at all that we're reading this today in light of the month of September, SEPT. What is that? 7, right? A picture of the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Just a picture. I don't have time for that. Are you with me? For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Boy, we've had a lot of shaking going on lately, haven't we? Haven't we? I mean, the sea's been tore up and the dry lands have been tore up. Do you realize Mexico City is literally built on a dry lake? And that is actually why earthquakes affect it differently than other places, is because it resonates the ground in a whole different way. God, if you look at some videos, I mean, skyscrapers just... It's craziness. Is God doing all that? You're missing the whole point. It's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of this. Watch. Are we in the end times? Is this it? Listen. What God's really trying to tell you and I is, listen, the Word is happening, and He's looking for a people who will finish what He started with His Spirit. Are you with me? Well, we've had earthquakes. We'll continually have earthquakes and hurricanes and all kinds of things going on in the earth until there is a priesthood who stands up with Urim and Thummim, until a people have put on the fullness. I don't care if it's the 21st century or the 900th century. God is going to continue the cycles until the people come and break the cycle. How do you do that? Watch. Be strong. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And we can get all hyped up and try to make it happen in our naturalness, because we've done that for a long time. It's not by might. It's not by power. Isn't that what Zechariah had to encourage Zerubbabel about? But it's by my spirit. You aren't going to do this. By the way, newsflash, Jesus is Zerubbabel. And He is the high priest also. He's the king priest. And He is building the temple through a people. You and I must yield to it. Are you with me? Now watch this. I love this. He said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land. I will shake all nations. I think He has everybody's attention. See, you know what I found interesting yesterday? While everybody was looking at the earthquake that happened in Mexico, Donald Trump, boop, 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 the last Trump, he was making an earthquake. And he was talking about Rocket Man, heavenly things. See, there's a lot of things going on just to get your attention and mine. Watch, not that something's happening in the earth, but that God's trying to get you and I to consider our ways and wake up to build the temple. He caused an earthquake in our Senate. Because the truth of the matter is Americans are afraid of war, aren't they? We're nervous because it'll mess up our lifestyle. Oh my God, I might not be able to do. Or what? What I want? See, that's what happened to the children of Israel when Nebuchadnezzar came along. They didn't have a heart to fight. Do you realize every kingdom that ever was great, that lost and got overtaken, was by a people who lost the ability or will to fight? Get fat cat lazy. That's what we do. Can we all just get along? That's what God wants, but it's not going to happen in human terms or human strength. It's got to be done by His Spirit. This is not psychological warfare. This is spiritual warfare. This is why He told us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and put on the whole armor of God. Because, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Where are they? High places, heavenly places. Because you know what they've done? They've usurped the authority that God gave the church to sit with Him in heavenly places. Who has more power? The enemy or the church? I didn't say God, I said the church. Come on, admit it. Now, I don't know if that's true. If the last enemy is death, who wins more in the church? Death or the church folks raising the dead? Want to count the score? Now, I'm telling you, it's not right. It's upside down. But God wants to turn the world right side up. But the only way He's going to do it, this is why I'm here tonight to tell you. The only purpose I have tonight is to let you and I know that God says, I'm going to do a whole lot of shaking. Amen. Yeah. See, someone could say, well, are you saying God made those hurricanes and those earthquakes? I'm saying He didn't stop them. Oh, we don't like that either. Just like He didn't stop Adam. Just like He doesn't stop you and I when we want to do our own thing. When He has a purpose for our lives. Because all He ever really wants us to do is to obey Him, follow Him, and watch this, do it His way. And I'm here tonight to let you know that there are powers and principalities that rule in darkness that need to be removed from their positions. Watch. Why did Paul write this? The God of this world has blinded. Those folks need to be able to see. Well, who do you think is going to do it? Your message? My message? Nah. The truth of the matter is most of the messages we send the world is double standard, hypocritical. Not one that is sold out. Are you with me? Can you see what he's saying here? He said, I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God's talking. Now watch this verse. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch this. You know what? We take out of context when Jesus said, greater works shall you do than what I do. We think that's hukamashayin. But you know what he was really saying? He is saying that the latter house, can you hear me? That the whole corporate man is greater than me as an individual. Listen,
as great, listen to me, as great as that first century church did and was and moved in all of its power, listen, Jesus being at the beginning and pouring out his spirit to begin the movement. And we begin, 3,000 were saved, 5,000 were saved, and all of a sudden it began to grow, didn't it? It was powerful. And all of a sudden the church slid into stopping the building program. But Haggai's come. The power of Jesus. To declare to you and I to be strong in the power of his might. And that the thing that we need to fight against, watch this, is heavenly things. And like they did when they built the temple and built the walls in the city, they had a sword in one hand and they had a tool or a ministry in another hand. Because they had a mind to work and fight. They were willing to pull down strongholds, vain imagination. God says he's going to shake everything, and the reason for it, watch, that it said the desire of the nations will come to it. You won't have to have a revival to fill the church. See, we read a lot of stuff, you know, that has happened in the course of time in history, but it's cyclical. It happens and then it stops. It happens and then it stops. And then we're always trying to go back and reproduce when all God's trying to get you and I is to the 21st day of the seventh month. A continuation. A feast that never ends. That's all he's ever trying to do. Watch this. I really believe this with my whole heart. As much as Jesus poured out his spirit into us, it was to have a people who could finish what he started. A man-child people has to feed a woman or a church people that, watch, either don't know or refuse to know. Listen, not even all of you listen to me. Until the desire of the nations come, God's going to keep shaking until someone says, I'm going to build. He who loses his life, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm going to pray in the realm of the Spirit to pull things down, to make things happen. Now, I don't know this. You know, I don't even know why I'm saying this. But, you know, for the last 3 years, my PSA levels for my prostate, right, was way above the number. And I begin to say to the Lord, Lord, this has to change. This year, it went from 5.7 to 4.4. Now, it went backwards. Now, either they screwed up or God's moving. Who's stronger? And it's not, it cannot just be a message to us because we'll never change by a message. We'll believe it. We'll even try to live it. But it's not the same as walking it out. And you know what? You can have faith that God's going to do all kinds of things in your life and it never happened. That only tells me we're lacking something. What? Spirit. Right word, right time. We need to have the right spirit. Because the spirit is the key ingredient to everything. Are you with me? We can't even be unified without the spirit. Because unity is in the spirit. I'm almost done, maybe. I don't know. Did you hear this? Oh, by the way, the silver's his. The gold is his. Watch this. Not to build our own sealed houses. Our own lifestyles. It's to build the temple. We get more concerned about our everyday life. See, you know the parable of seed? Why do you think Jesus gave us the parable of seed? The third phase was what? Thorns and thistles.
Where did you find out thorns and thistles came in the earth? Back in the garden. Adam. Choices. All right? It is true. Are you with me? And what do? Choke. And what did Jesus say that the thorns and thistles were? Cares of this life. Something really simple. Jesus, I'm not feeling good today. I'm not this today. You understand what I'm saying? Things that overtake the mind. I love this verse. He said, I'll shake all nations. Imaginations. Divinations. Denominations. I'm going to shake everything. Why? That the desire of all nations shall come in. Now, if we think this is just Old Testament, why did the writer of Hebrews, which we think might have been Paul, he brought this up in Hebrews 12, didn't he? Verse 26, I think it is. He said, I'm going to shake. I'm going to shake. Didn't he say that? The glory of the latter house, the end of a thing, is greater. It's greater. And then he goes, the prophet here goes, because I'm running out of time, he goes on and he says, listen, he says, oh, I don't want to paraphrase it. Here, let's read it real quick. Here we go. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the prophet, the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, say, the Lord of hosts asked now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with a skirt do touch the bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest said, no. In other words, hey, if I'm holy and I touch, it's not right. But then he says, answer Haggai. He says, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body, remember when we went all through this about the dead body, the red heifer and all that? Remember all this? There's a reason why this stuff is here. Shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And watch what Haggai says, that the Lord says. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people. And so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. And that which they offer, there is unclean. The 21st century church started out right. But like it says in Proverbs, there's a generation that needs to be washed from their filthiness or uncleanness. And Paul wrote in Corinthians, he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all perfecting holiness. So that when we do lay our hands on someone, we don't just sow, but we actually will reap. Not little, but what's expected. And what he was telling them is this: everything that they did for all those years before, they did it from an unclean point of view because they just wouldn't change their ways. But look what he says here. Watch this. And now I pray you, consider from this day upward and upward, and before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days when one came to a heap, 20 measures were 10. When one came to the press vat to draw out 50 vessels of the press, there was only 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew, with hail and all the labors of your hands. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. Here's what he's really saying. Watch this. He said the church is a mess right now. And it don't look right. And it surely isn't bringing in what it should. But he says, listen, the foundation's been laid. And he said, I'll bless you. And even though it hasn't come in yet, he says, I'm telling you, it's on its way. So consider your ways. Clean up your lives. Give everything you have unto him. And walk by faith and not by what you see. Because God's whole purpose is to bless us. Watch this. With eternal life. Not whether I get another job, more money. All those things will find their place. What he's really after is a restoration of the true tabernacle. A true tabernacle. It's a done deal. The foundation's been laid. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And it's the function, the operation of apostles and prophets to declare, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because God has declared he will finish what he started. And for every bit of opposition there is, primarily in the mind, bring down the high places so that God can work through you to build the true tabernacle, a people that can declare, not just with their mouths, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? Let's stand. Amen. Lily's happy. Just to finish this up, the Lord spoke again through Haggai. Verse 21 says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. He said, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, and I'll overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I'll destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Listen, the Bible says this, the righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked shall flee with no one pursuing them. What he's really talking about is powers and principalities in heavenly places. God says in Ephesians 3, Paul wrote, he has seated us with in heavenly places. And most people run around thinking that they are something because they understand that. But if they really understood that the prince of this world has usurped their authority, which will go cross-grained to their thinking because we've been inoculated, brainwashed. But the reality is this. The proof is in the pudding, isn't it? Say what you want. Some call themselves apostles. And what did Jesus say? They're liars. Didn't he? And if we got to the last day, church, we're rich, we're full of goods, and we sure have brought in more than that we sowed. No. He said, you're wretched, you're naked, you're blind, you're poor. And all God does is send a prophet to declare, you can do this. Only through the Lord. Be strong. He has never changed his mind. 21 centuries have gone by, cyclical. Watch this, with the same word and the same Jesus that you and I have. And 21 more centuries can go by with the same Jesus and the same word as you and I have until a people have said, your way, God, not mine. And he just declared to you and I right here, I'm going to pull down every kingdom. Do you remember when Paul wrote this? I'm sorry, I'm holding you tonight, but it's important to me. He said, everything's under the feet of Jesus, isn't it? But he says, we see not all things under his feet, Whose feet? The body. Because Jesus, he's not worrying about the price of gas tonight, is he? He's not wondering if a McDaddy's going to taste good, but he's going to know what it is because he's going to drink it through me. But anyway, are you with me? Are you with me? Not all things are under his feet. The corporate man. Let's be honest with ourselves and humble ourselves and say, God, you chose us for this purpose. We'll build and we'll fight. Because your word says you're bringing down every kingdom. Amen? Now watch this. And in that day, oh hallelujah, saith the Lord of hosts, will I make thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. That it was fulfilled in Zerubbabel. That was fulfilled in Jesus. And that must be fulfilled in his body. A signet, a sign. I don't have time to preach that whole thing. Whew! A signet. A signet, a sign, a banner, a ring. God's after something, isn't he? Just say amen with me. Amen. Yay and amen. What else can we say? God, have your way. Have your way, God. Amen and amen. Glory to God.